हरिः ॐ सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवसरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे चार सो संस्कार दीपिका वी आर स्टिल ऑन द इंट्रोडक्शन लाइक दैट सो इंट्रोडक्शन टू द संन्यास कॉन्सेप्ट एंड सेरेमोनी By Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Okay. Thus, the principle of taking sannyas may be stated as follows. Taking diksha according to Pancharatrika injunction from a bona fide guru, a person attains the status of dvija or twice born. And as a result of practice as a householder, one attains detachment and qualification for Vishnu sannyas and Achyuta Gotara. When one can give up the marks of the sannyas ashram, one attains the status of Paramahamsa. In the same way that a qualified female Vaishnava is allowed to worship the Shaligram Shila, so a qualified female Vaishnava may also take up two pieces of cloth as a brahmachari or renunciate. Right, so here it's mentioning this point of when what we're talking here is that when we talk about we chant Hare Krishna, we're transcendental, we're not this body, but that's all right, that is a standard, but it mentions here one needs to come to that Paramahamsa's platform, right? You have to come up to the platform where one doesn't identify on the bodily platform. Then you see is that these things like this. So if it's just the lady wants to worship because she wants to, then that's not the qualification. She has to not identify with the body. So we see if there's political moves that, oh, okay, ladies should worship Shaligram, they should do yajnas, they should take, be gurus, be sannyas. That's based on the bodily platform. The point is in the Vedic system, these things do happen. You do have examples in history. But those examples in history are one here, one there, where it just happens naturally. So, in other words, if there has to be a whole push for it, it's not happening. It's just that it's obvious that's the platform they're on. Right? That's the way it works. That's the platform that it functions at. So, as we see, yeah, does that make sense? So it's in other words, if the Vedas say that this is not the standard, like that it may happen in this case when it comes to this platform, but it's not formalized. It's not a rule. Yes, women can do this. No, it's a matter if you have this qualification, you can do it. If they say men and women are equal, then the point is that actually what we want to get into? Because no one's going to make everything equal, right? Because otherwise, if that's there, then make the rule that however much cloth the Jai Ho, however much cloth the man has, that's how much the lady can have. Or the other way around, how much the lady has, that's how much the guy can have. So then, what happens is that everything gets thrown out of balance. The natural uniqueness of the difference is not acknowledged. Here you're going beyond that. So then we can see here is that if we're doing this, we're not talking about ladies who are householders. We're talking about ladies who are renunciates, who are not married, who are in that kind of position. So that way then they could be a brahmachari, and if you see that they even go farther in their detachment and everything, where they give up these signs of ashram, the ashram, then they may come to that kind of platform. But so it's a matter of seeing the degree of advancement in Krishna consciousness. It's not a social political standard. That's why in the Vedas it says this, this, this. These are the way things work. Leaders are like Vanaprastha. The guy goes to the forest. His wife wants to come, she comes. If not, if she wants to stay home with the kids, she can. And it's fine. But the man, if he stays at home with the kids, it's not Vanaprastha. Right? You know, they have to be spending time out and traveling and doing things like that. And so then, it's not that he doesn't, may not, he may interact and all that, but it's not where he's situated. So there's going to be a difference. So here it's just a matter of, as the qualification comes naturally by following the devotional process, then these different things can be taken up. But they're not games. You know, I've heard it before. Oh, well, you know, the sannyasis, the gurus, they always have people look after them. Who's going to look after us? I've heard that these have been arguments, you know, of why ladies should be able to be gurus so that they have people to take care of when they're old. But it never mentions that in scripture that that's the whole position of being a guru or being a sannyasi. And you do see sannyasi and guru, nobody cares. Like, who was around when Tatpur Maharaj left? He was there in Mayapur, lived his whole life in Mayapur. Anybody heard of him? That's the point. So the only place that he could get any facility was across the river at the, you know, that hospital thing that they have across the river that generally no one worries about or anyone goes over. So the devotee there, because he had facilities and running clinics and everything, all that and managing that whole thing, then he took care of him. So this whole kind of approach is wrong. So that's what Gopal Bhatta Goswami is trying to point out. It's a matter of consciousness. It's a matter of development in Krishna consciousness. It's not a matter of social prestige or facilities or things like that. Those may come along with it, but that's not what it's for, right? Especially the, you know, we hear here the Paramahamsa Sannyasa. That's not about facility and all that. That Tridandi Goswamis, yes, then they have that facility. Because they're known that like that, they have the danda, they have regulations on how they can deal and interact in community and all those kind of elements. So then they have that facility and all that. And others, then it's just a matter of people appreciate them, then they may, and if not, you know, it's just like before, you have somebody who's a guru. That means you're a guru. You know, it means you're a Diksha Guru. You're a Diksha Guru for your disciple. You're not a Diksha Guru and can't expect the standard of respect and worship that may be given to a Diksha, someone who is a Diksha Guru, that everybody has to respect and deal on that platform. That was a major mistake that happened, you know, in that late 70s and up to mid 80s. Yeah, it still goes on. But that they took it that because you're a guru for everyone. Like Prabhupada, he was everybody's guru. So then they, you know, and following that example, took it that they're guru for everyone. No, you're the Diksha Guru, just like you're a preacher. Whatever is the senior preacher, whatever respect and facility he has, that's what all the senior devotees would be getting. Now, if you're a Diksha Guru, then if there's any extra considerations, only in relationship to your specific disciples. Not to anybody else. So when you walk into the temple, as it's fixture guru, they may be respected on a very nice way according to their facility. But it's not that because you're a Diksha Guru, therefore there's more. So this was a very major mistake. And because of that, it created so many problems. But there was only, I think Pujumna was the only one who's a bit level-headed about it. Most others, they were, you know, too much one way or too much the other. So this whole point is that this is not what the ashram is for. It's for preaching. It's to give the preaching, because if you have that position of sannyasi, you'll find people go to the class, just like you see Bhagavatam class. On a daily basis, just different devotees are giving and all that. How many show up? If sannyasi shows up, there'll be more. Like that, just because it's supposed to be better. Like that. You know, whether it is or not, it's another thing, but it just means that it will give the opportunity for people to take more serious about hearing about Krishna. It's not about them. It's about the opportunity for preaching. So because they're sannyasi, Tridandi sannyasi, they show up, then more people generally tend to come. You know? So that's why it's there, because then people, even though they may not value certain regularities in the Krishna consciousness or expanding it, by having that sannyasa ashram, by having festivals, then you expand it. People will come for that. That's the only thing. But as far as their personal benefit and all that, that there technically wouldn't be much different than any other senior preacher who is like that, whatever facilities that it would be the same. You know, you have senior devotees or Prabhupada disciples or people who've been in the yatra forever and mature and people respect. And that's the kind of facility they would get. Like I think it was in in SA that there was one devotee there. He was a brahmachari. But they dealt with him as if he was one of the gurus like or preachers like everybody else. So he had the same facility as anybody else had. So there was no distinction there. So that there they kind of have more of an understanding of how the system works, you know, like that. It basically is an all Indian community, so it's easier for them. You know, and predominantly a lot of Gujaratis and like that. So then you had those who were there from business and that hadn't lost their culture necessarily so much. And so then, or, you know, in any case, so the practice was very easy for them and very natural like that. But you find other places that don't have that, then much of the time they have difficulty. Also in India, you'd have ones that are like that. You know, you'd have these senior brahmacharis and that. I remember like in Vrindavan had one devotee. I'm not sure if he was a god brother or not. Vibhu Chaitanya Prabhu. I don't know if anybody ever remembered him. He used to, if he went there 70s, 80s, I think even into 90s. I'm not sure how much past that he went, but it might have been more. But he always distributed Charanamrita. He took that as his service, even though probably most of who he was giving Charanamrita to, he was senior to. He cook for the deities, for Radisham, and he'd distribute Charanamrita like that. I'm not sure what else he would do, but that's what he'd do. You'd always see him in the town. Every darshan, didn't matter what day of the week, which year you went, he was always there giving Charanamrita. And so he was very much respected. And so you have these different persons like that. Is that it's a natural thing that they, even though they might be brahmacharis, they may be respected like the sannyasis. I also heard one grihastha mention at Chaupati, senior, one of these, the very major ones that organize and the community and that. They made the point that they respected the brahmacharis that lived in the temple. You know, did that full-time service just as much as the sannyasis. Of course, the sannyasis had some ritualistic elements that had more, but as far as their personal respect for them, it was the same. You know, because they were preaching. That's what they did, that they did all day. They preached, they did all the different things, all the festivals and everything, came to the houses and preached the programs and like that. So they found that it's there, you know. Maybe the newest guys, that will come with time, but the ones that had been there were preaching and everything, that was the same. So that's the point then he's making here is that by it coming up, so this is just then situating yourself so that becomes there's no other encumbrance. One, you're giving up the, it's mentioning here, the first stage sannyasa, giving up the what do you call it? Giving up the marks of what do you call it? As he mentioned before. Okay, well, let me take the external meaning Varnashram or the internal meaning Krishna Bhakti. All right, so that's the thing is that we can't fight on the external, on the Varnashram side, and claim Krishna Bhakti. We want all the facilities of the Varnashram thing, but at the same time, we want to claim it because of the Krishna Bhakti. No, because we see it's when it changes. When you go and it's just on the, as the Bhakti includes, it goes up to a point, but it's one point, it goes past that. Like the Paramahamsas, they're just on the side, they're just there. Like we saw in Mayapur, Prabhupada had a god brother there, Krishnadas Babaji. And so, he'd come, Bhakti Churu Maharaj knew who he was. And so he'd take care of him. No one else in the ashram knew who he was. They'd see him around and this and that. But generally, When you'd see is like he'd go down and as service he'd go down and cook in the kitchen, the big kitchen for the devotees. Then after helping with cooking, then he would serve prasad. Right? And then when the because everybody basically sits together and serves together, but when senior devotees would start to get up to go wash their hands, he'd go outside and have a bucket of water to wash hands. There was a place to wash hands, but he'd also do there. So then. And he'd be there every day. And most devotees would come there, wash their hands and that, like, because he's wearing white. So nobody'd know. And that, and, wash your hands, walk off like that. And then I remember one senior devotee coming along like that, preacher and all that, who had been around and all that. And he came up and went to wash his hands. So he knows it's Krishnadas Babaji. He said, "Ah, you almost tricked me." And they both laughed. And then that devotee walked over to another place to wash his hands, because he wasn't going to have him. Well, I bet that new device, they didn't know, no one knew, like that. But at the same time, as I remember one day, it was festival, and this would be at Gaur Purnima, so it means you have lots. Even if it wasn't Gaur Purnima, you have 200, 250 devotees taking prasad there and washing their hand and all that. Then, festival, then you'd have much more. And so then I remember they would get him to chant the Sarira Vijayajal prayer. You know how most of these chant Shiva Vijayal, everyone chants and they're kind of, okay, it's okay, or kind of waiting for when it's going to finish and all that. He would chant, everybody would stay be standing up and jumping up and down and in ecstasy and shouting and like that. So it's just, it becomes obvious. That's the whole point that he's pointing here, is you can take an external meaning, Varnashram, so it has its position. But the internal meaning is Krishna Bhakti. And so once you go to these points where we're not the body and all that, it has to be based on Krishna Bhakti. You can't say, "Oh, we're not this body," and then expect all the facilities of the Varnashram. Because one's external, one's internal. If it's internal, it's internal benefit. And people know, don't know, then it doesn't matter. Examples of sannyas in Lord Chaitanya's Sampradaya are Swarup Damodar, right, who gave up his thread and sika and donned kopina, thus attaining his natural position, swarup, as a sannyasi. Right? So that was his natural position. Pandava ji.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. So Maharaj, how do you develop detachment? Because it seems the problem here is that lack of detachment from all this social prestige. And in the verse it is stated that the grihasthas, after they develop detachment, they can move on. So how exactly this developing of detachment happens for
So what
them?
we
Is it
see is that
yeah.
detachment means detachment from the varna aspect, not necessarily the ashram aspect. The thing of that, I mean, it'll happen both, of course, if you're talking about grihasthas. But the aspect is nishkam karma yoga, is that they're doing it because this is the duties that should be performed. This is what scripture has said. So they will be performing these duties. And they're not doing it for any benefit that they will get themselves, or that specifically the family will get based on the principle of attachment. But that's their duty to arrange these things. So they're getting. So if they're working, they're getting money, everything's there, but they do it in a detached sense. So all the activities are done. This is the point that is not understood, because it's taken, well, if you're not attached, you won't do it. Yes, so then that defines your position. But they shouldn't go against, "Oh, it's impossible to do that." No, but that's what the Vedic system's for. If you don't know that the point of Grihastha Ashram is to become detached from it, then how will you become detached? Right? You may become a little bit more indifferent, but it doesn't mean that you'll take the natural symptoms that one should just move on. One will just go into some other situation. Or as soon as one's not in the facilities, one will go back to them because of that attachment. So the idea is that you're going to be able to appreciate that I may start off with Sakam Karma Yoga, but I know Nishkam is the point, but it externally looks the same. In fact, Nishkam Karma Yoga is generally prepared, done in a better way, more relaxed way, more efficient way, less trippy, less up and down on the on the scale as much. It's more stable. And so That's how you tell. So you can tell that they're more stable. You know, they're stable, they're nice, they're like that. The ones that are young, fire, yeah, like this, and they may be efficient, but there's still that attachment. That's what's driving them. But then as time, it's that duty drives. And then at time, it's just Krishna. It's just, that's the way Krishna wants it done. Krishna's a grihastha, he did that. Krishna's associated grihasthas, they did all that. So that's what you do. That just makes for the pastime of interaction with the devotees. Otherwise, how do you interact? What's the basis? Okay, they're a devotee, you're a devotee. Okay, that's good. And so then your basis is just talking about Krishna, and that's all. Now, if we're doing other things like you're going to serve and this and that, how do you define who's going to be doing the service, who's going to be sitting? Right? So then, you know, it does that. Who's going to get the money? You're already making money. So they're preaching, so they don't have to make money. So you'll give money to them. They don't have to give money to you. You know, so it sets an environment in which it's just like, let's say, okay, we have a festival, big festival. Okay, like we just had Govardhan Puja. You know, or Kartik's going on, we have Kartik Vrata. So now the point is one can come there in the evening or morning, offer one's lamp to the deity and devotion, and it's nice. You know, it's a nice atmosphere. The temple's been set up where you have the deities and their altar. And, you know, you may put some extra flowers and like this and that. But the point is you always come to that situation. Of course, Govardhan Puja, Giriraj is on the altar. You know, you put a few extra flowers and it's nice. But now, does it not become a little bit nicer if we set up a diorama of Krishna and Mother Jashoda and what do you call it? Or that was the pestle, mortar and pestle thing like that, and the rope. And she's there and Krishna's there in that pastime. Or Giriraj is set up with like a little Govardhan hill and he's sitting on top like that. Or, you know, do those not add? So that's the whole point of the pastimes. Yes, you can be just in meditation on the Lord like those in Shantaras. But if you expand it and put in the point of the situation and the activities and all those, it expands it. It makes it more. So that's the whole idea, is that the Varnashram is there to expand the interaction between the devotee, because you have different positions and different places for different devotees, and so all those things can all interact. That's the whole point of it, is Daiva Varnashram is for devotees to interact and have a nice thing. And it sets example for those who are in Varnashram how to perform their duties, and all in connection with Krishna. But then they hold on to those extra things like the Shraddha rites and all those other things because of their attachments. The Daiva Varnashram, they don't, but they set the example of how to move forward in Krishna consciousness as a grihastha. You know, now in all these positions, the brahmacharis, the grihasthas, how they interact. The grihasthas are senior to the brahmacharis, so the brahmacharis are to respect them. Grihasthas are always trying to, you know, very kind to the brahmacharis. Like that, vanaprasthas are then senior to them both, sannyasis are then senior again. You know, so these kind of elements, they create the element of pastime. And if you think, oh, it's all that, so then what are you going to do? So unless you're always absorbed in the Lord, like we see Paladmar just sits there and is absorbed in the Lord. That's what he does. That's his service. You know, he takes care of whatever he does, but whenever he has a moment, he just remembers the Lord and is absorbed in that way. So there's no necessity of an external manifestation of any service. You know? So the point is who's going to be able to sit around and do that?
Yeah, unless you are from Janaloka, Tapaloka, these places, then not possible.
Yeah. And devotees say we got to be practical, we got to do this and that, because, you know, otherwise, that's why Prabhupada kept mentioning we need to introduce Varnashram, because everyone was living in the temple, and there would be some semblance of Varnashram, but you didn't really have the Grihastha community. You know, and those working and having jobs and working for others or running their own business or things like that. You didn't have those elements, you know, or the farms, you know, like that. So he introduced those to expand it, to include community. In other words, you had the temple, and then Varnashram meant you had the community. Right? But because Prabhupada is introducing Daiva Varnashram. So just as now, there's community, but it's not organized. What's the relationship between the temple and them? You know, what's the relationship between them and the outside world and all that? It's very unscientific. And so devotees have misunderstood or, you know, that the value of these things and how they can help within the whole society and how they interact. You know, they all think, you know, they need some social interaction. You know, when you have all these nice clothes, you need to wear them sometime. You want to eat some nice food. There has to be opportunities for it. Like that. And so, you know, you have the samskars. That's one of the main things for the community. Like that. It's not for the temple. It's for the community. Temple has the big festivals, Janmashtami and all those around the Pancharatra. But the Vedic, that's for the community. So you throw out community, you don't have that, then what do you get? You get Christmas and you get birthday parties. You know, that's it. And that's, you know, and now what? They're going to do Easter, the Easter bunnies. You know, kids like the chocolate bunnies, like that, you know. But
Maharaj, then what? So it is for accommodating us, basically. But since it has certain standards, we don't really necessarily want to follow them. So we prefer to be not accommodated by it. So therefore, we just stay outside.
Okay. Sorry, it went off. So
I meant that it is, Maharaj, so it is, the whole system is to accommodate us. But since it has certain standards, and these standards are a little high, so for us, so then we prefer not to be accommodated by it, and we prefer to stay outside. It's a nice place to go, but it's too much for us. So we say, well, we'll stay on the street better. We'll just chant Hare Krishna on the street, and we're not going into this nice place to follow these rules, nice sattvic rules. So something like this happens.
Yeah. But then how much do they chant? How much are they absorbed? How much are they inspired? So, in other words, the fast, quick path has been offered. Why take the slow? Like if I offered you, okay, you want to, you know, somebody wants to go to India. Okay, we have a direct flight from, you know, the airport near you right to, Calcutta, and then from there there'll be a car there to pick you up and take you to Mayapur. And not only that, we'll take you to the airport and everything's been booked and ready. All you have to do is take your bag. Or, you know, you got to arrange your own vehicle and this and that. And besides that, then, you know, when you get there, then the flight goes from wherever you are to some other place to another place. Then you have to get out of there and change airports and then get a local domestic flight. Then you get there and then you got to work out your own car when you get there. Which of the two will you take? Right? The first one.
Yeah, the direct one.
Yeah. Now, can we call the second one practical? Do you understand the pun that we're getting at here? The irony? Because they'll call that second one, oh, we have to be practical, Prabhu. We're not fanatic. No, that's just called foolish. That's all. You can work. By doing your work and getting your money paid for that, you put in a consciousness of nice karma. You know, or at least karma yoga, that you understand how it works by the laws given by Krishna, and that there is varna, and you get paid for it, and that maintains you. That's Krishna. That's not the Western culture. You know, that's the way it is. You see, even animals, they do stuff. Sometimes the animals want something. It's not an uncommon thing. They'll bring you something. And they want something in return. So the understanding, you do something and you get a result from that. Even the animals understand that. You know, so this whole idea is that why can't you be Krishna conscious when you're at work? They say it's not practical. No, you're just lazy. You're not interested. But no one wants to take a lower position. They're so proud, especially if they're, you know, first so-called first world, you know, country, they're back and they're the most proud. like that. Others are proud individually, proud individual, but not necessarily in their environment. But these guys are proud of everything around them, even though they themselves are not necessarily anything to be too proud about. They become devotees, and as Krishna mentioned, that they're rightly situated, so they're saintly. It does that they have qualities. They are situated, and they are still better than, you know, a nice Brahmin who's doing everything pukka, but not a devotee. Just that they're not much better. They're a little bit better, but they could be so much more better. So this kind of thing is that what the Vedic system offers, how it works, what devotional service means. It's because you're doing devotional service. It's not about us. You know, it's just like we cooked something and it was fabulous, you know, and that can the spoon claim that, yeah, I cooked that, you know, and you say, what do you mean you cooked that? This guy cooked it. No, I cooked it. That's what do you mean? How do you say you cooked it? Said, did you see his hand in the pot pushing the vegetables around? I pushed them around. Without me, he couldn't have cooked. So therefore, spoons forever. Yeah. That's what's going on. So the whole thing is we have to understand this. What's going on? What's actually going on in the world? When we say practical, practical means you don't follow Krishna's laws. It's not practical. You don't get anything. Nothing works out. You may get from your last life when you did do something, but anything else around you is not going to work. Any immediate things aren't going to work, and long-term definitely is not going to work because you don't know how to deal with it. You're not acknowledging Krishna's laws. So therefore, we are Vaishnav by you know, our philosophy, but by religion, we're animals. And so how is that practical? Human being is supposed to act at a fundamental. These rules that are given for us as Vaishnavs, the Daiva Varnashram and the Pancharatra, how much we follow and the Bhagavat, you know, in how we're applying it. You know, in introducing the Pancharatric and Vedic elements, these are just the basic human elements. So if they don't want to accept that, it just means not human, that's all. Or a little less human. You know, maybe not completely animal, like you have the Kinaras and Kimpurushas. They'll have a human body, and then they'll have some variety of animal head. You know, a horse head or a monkey head or, you know, an elephant head. Some kind of animal head. Are, you know, and I'm not exactly sure what's the difference between a Kim Purusha and a Kinara, but both of them, Kim means what, and Nara means, and Purusha means person, right? And Kinara means, you know, what kind, Nara also means this man. What kind of man is this, or what kind of person is this? Means, you know, it's just like, you know, this guy walks in with a horse head, you know, human body, horse head. Sits down, you know, the little bistro there, and, you know, the waitress comes up, what'll he be having, you know, so, you know, he'll have a, what do you call it, he'll go for the, what do you call it, that's the wheat grass, wheat germ, you know, grass, you know, drink, you know, like that, because that'll match, you know, so that's the whole thing is we have to understand is that if you don't follow religion that's given for humans, you will follow religion that's not meant for humans. You'll make it up. You'll either follow your own, what was your background, or you'll pick up from the locales. What do you call it? All this new age kind of things and political correct. These are all religions. New age is a religion. How you judge everything is it match into the new age kind of thing. Is it good by New Age or not? Is it good according to political correctness or not? Or you just get into corporate, your career like that. I have my career, you know, what's my career, what's not good for my career? How's that working? Bad for your career, bad for your family life, bad for you as an individual. No one likes you, though you're doing really well in your career. Like that. So then, it's just like in the corporate world, the guy who everybody hates because he just gets the work done, those guys on top like him. He has no life. But since he's there and he wants money and they pay him, so he gets the job done there fine. But they wouldn't do it. That's why they hire him. So that's the problem, is it's the science of philosophy and religion is not understood. What's primary and secondary? What's principle and detail? These are not understood. It is not common knowledge. It should be leadership. So therefore, people don't know. So devotees, they're in the community, they're Vaishnava by philosophy. They follow a few points, in the Pancharagra and this and that, but generally the lifestyle in Varna, how they make their living, how they act there, and how they do, what are they? What is it? Right? So it's some kind of secular, how you say, secular Western lifestyle. So then what does that mean? There's no regulation on it other than be at work on time, do your work, and don't harass others. That you make your boss upset that he fires you. And like that. Where is it? So how is the connection? Therefore, devotees will say, how do you balance between, your devotional life and your family? Because they don't see it all part of the religious process. It's just which aspect? So it's Vedic, so it's subservient to Pancharatrik, which is subservient to Bhagavat. But so they don't see, Sad Dharma on the platform of Raj, Sad Dharma on the platform of Vaidhi, and then Dharma, or Sad Dharma on the within the Varnashram, the Brahminical. They can't see how that works, and then how you connect all these together and all that. So because of that, therefore, things like this, what Gopal Bhatta Goswami is explaining here, won't be understood either, right? Like you stop me just at that sentence there. When I read the next sentence, this is where people will go nuts. This sentence already means I appreciate your question, that it was actually on the topic rather than, oh, so we don't have to wear a thread or keep a sikha? That's normally what most people will catch. Most people don't catch any of this because they're not interested, so. Is that okay? Are we getting anywhere? Or are we just going around in circles here?
Yes, Maharaj. Thank you.
Something else? Or?
No, Maharaj. Yes.
Okay. So now, as he's pointed out, the point is that he gave up the thread in that because Swarup Damodar, he's from a Brahmin family and everything. And the Sikha is a standard thing, but he's not going to be doing worship in the temple or anything. So in that way, he doesn't require for the Brahman, he has to have the sikha, right? And to do his worship, you can't. It doesn't matter if you're a smarta or a worshiper, a shakta or anything. Without a sikha, you can't do the puja. That's just the rule. Without the thread, without the sikha, without the two pieces of cloth, the dhoti and the belt piece, you can't do puja. You haven't taken all your bath, through all that, you can't do. So he's just it didn't follow. This is his choice. He didn't take the color. He also says here about the thread and the sheikah, but he also didn't take the color. He just wore white. Like that. So the thread and the sheikah, like that's because he's not going to be identifying that way. So we see is that he's functioning in this. He gave up these things, the ashram elements. So he's functioning at Paramahamsa Sannyasa. Then it also mentions here, then Madhavi Devi, a woman who took to the renounced order, and Raghu, who was given Yananda Prabhu himself. So he's mentioning those who have taken at this Paramahamsa level. Right? So then that was, we have here examples of Damodar, Madhavi Devi, and Raghunath Das himself. Because he was from the Kayastha community. And Nityananda Prabhu gave. So, and you see where he is in our Sampradaya, where he is, Raghunath Das. So he's Rupa, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Rupa Raghunatha Pade Hoibi Akuti. Every chapter ends with that, because he's senior. And it's also mentioned, Prabhupada mentions that Rupa and Raghunath, and these two are you know, how you say, they've never been conditioned. They've always been nitya siddhas. While the other four, they are nitya siddhas now, but they themselves came up through the process. Like that. And now they've come to the point where they are eternal associates of the Lord. Now they're coming as eternal associates. So they're nitya siddhas. But just Prabhupada points out is to point out that it's not that, oh, they got on that platform because they're always nitya siddha. He pointed out, no, four of the four Goswamis came to that platform through their practice of bhakti. You know, Sanatana Goswami was said to be sadhana siddha. You know, through his sadhana, he got to that position of coming to the platform of prema and being an eternal associate of Lord Chaitanya. So, like that, is that they can do that. So Raghunath Das, you see Madhavi, then you see this one example who took the renounced order, like that, but not Tridandi, because he mentioned it. This comes from when you're taking the status of Parama. So not that she gets a little dunda that she could. Like that. No, it's Paramahamsa sannyas. So we're saying it's Srubdhamda, they're taking beyond that. So that's our standard of sannyas. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, you see, is then introduced in the form of the Tridandi sannyas, which is Vedic, which is the standard thing. The Tridandi is mentioned in Manu. So this Mayavad sannyas is just Ekadanda. That's not the standard Vedic process. It's Tridandi. And so he brought that in because if they were just up to that time, you know, Bhaktivinoda, of course, so many others, they were all this Paramahamsa sannyas and the general Bengal community, who cares? No one cares. Right? But you see is that, like Vivekananda, you know, Ramakrishna is just sitting there in his temple. No one really cares. But Vivekananda puts on the saffron, goes out, preaches, now, oh, everybody pays attention. So then his point was, it's okay, then it's a standard thing. It's not online. So since the Vedic sannyas, the Vishnu sannyasi, is a lower status than the Paramahamsa, then what's the problem? You know, so the qualification, you can preach, you're situated in that, and you can do it. So then, you know, you can be more general in the you know, more accommodating in that. And so then those, they take sannyas, people notice, people do, people are there, everyone gets fired up and things like that, just because of the conditioning, material conditioning, that people want to do things according to particulars. They, you know, then the status element means something to them. So that's why the Vedic system, they have it. But it's done in a way that it's uplifting, that it actually brings them forward in their consciousness. Otherwise, then the problem is there is that they don't try necessarily. They'll go like that in that slow way because everything's about management. So if the top's management, who wants to get involved in that? As Hamsadutta Prabhu said, it's a can of worms, like that. So it says they don't want to get involved. So therefore, then, hey, just sit back and, you know, enjoy the ride. So then the point is, no, it's supposed to be dynamic, supposed to be that. Therefore, then these things are used. We're using the Varnashram, the Daiva Varnashram, it's still Vedic, because of its ability to inspire people who are still on the neophyte platform. The Madhyamas don't really require it, right? But the neophytes, it specifically helps them. The Vedic system helps them. The Pancharatric system helps them. You know, the Bhagavat helps everybody. Like that. Does that make sense? So Daiva Varnashram, it has that overlap. It's not necessarily an Uttam platform. It's necessary on the neophyte platform, but in the middle, it makes it easy. Shri's pointing out is that there's no necessity of it, but it's comfortable, right? You know, say you have a Madhyama who's a householder. It's comfortable being a householder. He could function without it, but it's comfortable. For someone else, Brahmachari, it's comfortable. Therefore, it's easy for doing the service. So, seeing that your Prabhupada says, Comfortable means what's not uncomfortable for you. What's the position where it's not, there's no extra and there's no distress. It's just that point of neutrality. That's what Prabhupada defines as comfort. And so for someone that needs lots of facility, someone else that needs no facility. The less they have, the better. Remember when Godbrother, I think it was Charanarvinda or something. Devotees used to talk about him in early India. You know, it was austere in India, but he was even more. He was going somewhere. He just got on the train. You know, you buy a platform ticket, you know, which in those days, I think was 50 pice. And you got on the train and you just waited for the ticket collector to come because he didn't have to go ahead. Went and got on the train and they just waited. And so whatever he had, it was whatever was in that bag that he carried with him. It wasn't much of a bag. He could sleep on the floor. You know, he just had his chudder. He just didn't care. You know, so for him, that's comfortable. For someone else, that's not comfortable. But telling him, no, he's got to take all this luggage and have a nice arrangement and be more this and that, that would be uncomfortable for him. So the point is you find that point at which it's comfortable for you. It's not a matter of prestige. It's a matter of what just works for you. It's not a matter of, well, this is better, that. No, better is what works. Like, what do you feed a cow? Grass. You could say foie gras or whatever. I can't even pronounce it. But whatever it is better. But the cow doesn't want to eat that. You know? That's it. It's not interesting. You know, like you get one of those, what do you call it? In England, they call them gobstoppers. In America, I think they call them jawbreakers. You know, they're like a round ball of hardened, like rock hard sugar candy that's flavored. And some of them, you know, they're peppermint flavors, so they're really hot, or they're sour, like ridiculous, you know, burn a hole in your tongue sour. But for, you know, 5, 6, 8 year old kids, that's like nectar to them, right? You know, give one of those to an adult, oh, they wouldn't eat it. I remember once I had a thing, it was called Sugar Daddy, I think. It's like a caramel, sugar caramel, that they caramelize till it's rock hard. Not, you know, like generally the more like it flows or it's a little soft or chewy. This is like rock hard. And I remember once getting one of those, and, you know, most of the time you eat it for a while and then you have to do something with it and this and that. But I remember once, however the time of the day, I could eat it until it took me 5 hours to eat that thing. And I was working on it, you know. But, you know, what adult would want to do that? If you want that much sugar, you just like, you know, one or two, you know, how you say, you know, chocolate truffles and you're done. They're not going to sit there for 5 hours trying to eat something that they could eat in, you know, 1 minute. So the whole thing is what's comfortable for you. But you give that to the kid all day, he's good. He never gets hungry. He's never this and that, doesn't make any trouble. You know, he runs around and plays. He's good. So that's the Vedic system, is where is everybody's point of being comfortable? That's the Vedic system. You know, is it in the house? Is it not in the house? Is it as a student or not? Is it as this or not? Is it doing this kind of service, you know, being a Brahmin and accepting whatever people give out of in reciprocation? Or, you know, no, it has to be more fixed. Okay, so is it fixed by taxes? Also, you don't know how much they make. You can only make off taxes off of what they make. Okay, no, like that. Do business. That's also not fixed. You know, it's like a dog's dinner, one businessman told me. One day you get great profit, next day nothing, right? You know, so what's fixed? A shudra job where you go work, you know, 9 to 5 and get paid this much, you know, money per week. So what's comfortable for you? But a businessman, he doesn't want to do that. Even though sometimes he has more money, sometimes he has less. But he would rather do that than be working for someone. They absolutely just can't work for someone. Unless it's they go to work at a big firm where it's in an area they want to get into to see how it works. And then they move through the different thing for however long it takes them, a year or two. Then they go out and start their own business in the same area. But then it's to them, it's just part of the business. It's not the thing. And so the money they make is the investment for the business. It's not how they maintain themselves. You know, so they'll do that. Yeah. So like that, it's just, you have to see what's there. So the Paramahamsa means it's all this comes to view is just per devotional service. You know, and so you have that point between the Uttam and the Neophyte where the Madhyama, it can go either way. It has a little bit of that. It's comfortable for you, but it's not that you need to benefit from it. So it has an identity so you can work and interact in the community, because the Paramahamsa, where's the interaction? Everybody's the Paramahamsa. That's how you see the Uttam has come down to the Madhyama platform and take up the signs of Varnashram for that purpose, is to interact and with the community so they can bring them closer to Krishna. So that's the point he's making here, is the Paramahamsa. I mean, it's based on Krishna Bhakti. So then he goes on. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stated the principle of sannyas when he quoted a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam after taking sannyas. Etamsa astaya paratmanishtam upasitam purvater maharshibhi aham tarishami durantaparam tamo mukundangari nisheva eva. Jnana nishto virakto va madbhakto va napekshaka. Shalingan ashramam chakva charid avidhi gocharaha. So the first verse is from the Bhagavatam. I take shelter of the ideal method for concentrating on the Supreme Lord, the sannyas ashram, which has been respected as such by all the ancient sages, by which I can perfect service for the lotus feet of Krishna. In this way, I shall cross over the ocean of material existence. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:23-50. This was the mantra mentioned by the Avantipur Brahman when he took sannyas. So that's the point. It's for crossing over the material ocean of Nesha. It's not for getting followers, you know, Dunam, Janam, and Sundarim. It's not for that. Right? The point is men wanting women followers, the women wanting women followers is still Sundarim. You know, or that you want followers in general, that, you know, then that's Janam. You want facility and all that, that's Dunam. It's for crossing beyond that. That's what it's for. And so this has been accepted at this point of the sannyas ashram. So we can see, as we have the form of the ashram, where you have the markings of ashram, the form of the ashram that goes beyond that, depending upon, you know, the practice and the realization. So here is that for preaching, then we keep the markings of the ashram. But for crossing over the material ocean, you don't need them at all. Like that. So because it's good for preaching, therefore the saffron, therefore the danda, therefore the particular, you know, clothes and simplicity and all that. That's why it's for. Because it helps with the preaching. For crossing over, it's the commitment that it's only body, mind, and words are for the Lord's service. And like anybody can do that. But it's just that here, there's no reason not to do it. You don't have a family that you need to get money. You don't have anything else. All you have to do is surrender to Krishna and preach that to others. So that's why the ashram is there. It starts you off at that lower end of the Vedic, but takes you up through to the Bhagavad. That's the idea. Then the second verse. Whether one is fixed in knowledge or devotion, one should come to the stage of giving up all signs of ashram. And one should perform activities transcendental to all rules, right? So perform the activities that are transcendental to rules, not that it's about not following rules because I chant, therefore I don't have to follow rules. No, I follow those rules that don't, that means those activities that don't require rules, that's chanting. So I'm absorbed in the chanting, not I'm absorbed, I don't have to follow rules because I'm chanting. See, there's a difference. That's the whole point. So what he's talking about here is that once you perform activities transcendental, that doesn't mean, he didn't say you should be, you know, your position is transcendental, or you should perform activities transcendental. The activities are there. There may be a form of that that you use because you have to give some form. And that's there, but it's not based on the rules. It's just that that's a nice way to do it. You know? So that's the whole point, is that that devotion to Krishna, that's what's beyond all rules. That devotion itself, that's what's beyond the rule. You know, Achman, you're doing the Achman to please Krishna, but the Achman has rules. But the devotion to Krishna is beyond the rules. So if you're in a position where you need to do Achman, you do it according to the rules. You can't say, oh, we chant, I don't have to follow the rules or do Achman. No, if you're doing that service, you do that. Otherwise, if you want to not do for any rules, just chant all day. Haridas Thakur. Who knows if he ever did Achman? It doesn't matter. Because he wasn't in the position of requirement. He wasn't in the temple doing any worship. Is that good? Yes, no, very good. Okay. Yeah, so after this, then they'll get into explaining the verse and then some other points. And then, you know, details of how the ritual unfold. And then, yeah, so mainly is that philosophy. Like before, you can see as an introduction to Satriyasara is about transcending, you know, of all the karma jnana and upasana, then upasana is the best. And then of upasana and worship of Vishnu is the best. So transcending activities are for the purpose of karma jnana. I mean, you know, yeah. And for worship of the demigods, you just worship Vishnu. And so therefore, someone in the Daivavarna ashram system, he's transcendental to all that. And then now as sannyas, then he goes transcendental above that. Is that he doesn't have to do those things up there. He may, for example, in that, but the point is this is not necessary. Yes, no, very good. Okay, so then we'll end here. Okay, because I think people will be busy, different things. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shula Prabhupada ki jai.